So this is feedback for Carl Kranich. It's May 9th, 2016. This is the conclusion of the online calling intensive workshop. And so giving feedback, asking questions is John Hard, Sam Williamson, and Gary Barkalow. So, Carl, we'll just start with some questions. And Sam, do you want to start? You've always got
sure.
the most questions. Okay.
I do, and I have a long list of questions. So,
okay.
So the first question, I'm just curious, and that is, how hard is fundraising for you?
There's two ways I can answer that. It is horrible.
It is what?
It's really hard. It's really hard in one sense, and yet for 25 years, God has brought it in, and he hasn't made me work as hard at it as you hear a lot of people. I mean, you think about me being in an office working with computers every day. You'd think that, and for most of that time, I was in Orlando. So suffering for Jesus in Orlando behind a computer, you'd think it would be about the hardest thing to raise support for, and I'm an introvert. And I hate picking up the phone. I hate even talking to people that I get along with well, that I know I get along with, about fundraising. But I've never had to work at it for very long at a stretch before God leads me to the right people and he brings it in. So when we talk about my current job, it actually fits my ideal job in a lot of ways, except for support raising and a couple other aspects of it. If I could do my current job without raising support, it would be really close to my ideal job. Even though I haven't had to work at support that hard, every time I have to, which actually right now, this week, I'm going to do a little bit of it, it's just really, it makes me stressful. I can't sleep. It's really hard.
Well, you led right into my second question, which is, how different is your rich uncle? How is your rich uncle description different than your current job?
Yeah. Is the rich uncle the one where it's an organization, or just where it's your ideal job?
It's sort of like where you would give $10 million to an organization, but the key thing here is, what would you do in that organization? I mean, you could create an organization.
Yeah.
You could give it, you know, so what is it you would do? You know that you're going to get all your funds met, your personal needs met. So what is the job you'd be doing 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week?
Yeah, and I struggle a little bit with this because I feel a little bit locked in with my 25 years of experience with crew. Part of me says I'd keep doing what I'm doing, but I wouldn't have to do fundraising. And part of me feels like trying some very different things, but I haven't really figured out what they are. But I really do enjoy solving technical problems. And there's some guys I mentioned in one of my answers, there's some guys that call themselves LightSys, and they're just five or six guys who travel around and do tech stuff for ministries and churches who don't have their own tech support. And besides the fact that those guys raise support, I've always thought that would be a fun team to be a part of.
So let me ask with Sam's question. What is the most unpleasant part about raising support? Now, beyond making the initial contact, whether that's a phone call or it's a visit, but once you're on the phone with a person or once you're in front of a person or a group, what is then the most uncomfortable aspect of what you're doing at that moment for you?
Well, definitely, the initial contact is one of the hardest parts. Once I get past that, the hardest part is the ask. And I always feel like, you know, we're currently challenged to ask people for $100 a month or some other amount. And I just, even though I have a lot of people giving $100 a month or more, I feel so, it's really hard for me to challenge people. Even there was a while where I managed a guy here, and, you know, anytime I had to try to do any type of criticism, I feel like it's like that when I'm asking somebody for, when I'm challenging them to join my team. I don't know. I can't even explain why that is, because I have, you know, been drilled into me the biblical basis for all of it.
Right.
The challenge is the hardest part. And then when we're done with the financial ask, I just want to, you know, no matter what their answer was, I just want to say thank you and get out of there. But then I'm supposed to ask for contact so that I don't run out of people to ask. And I'm just beat after the financial ask, and then I have to try to ask them, you know, if you were joining on a, if you were joining crew today, who would you ask, first of all?
So one more question. Sorry, Sam, I'm jumping in on, I'm piggybacking on your question.
All helpful, yeah.
So if you were working for this other group, what was it called? I don't remember, Light Crew, okay. If you were working for them and with them, and you were going around the country working with all these different ministries, and these ministries are saying, Carl, you have changed everything for us. We have been stuck. We didn't know how to get over this. We can't afford to have an IT person or whatever that is. You have changed the game for us. You have, you know, we're going to be far more fruitful now. And you were doing this all over the country, and you were hearing this all over the country, all different kind of ministries. Do you imagine it would then be easier for you to raise support or not? Would it be just the same?
Oh, that's an interesting question, because we often don't even go a long time in the role that I'm in without hearing, like, directly how it's affected the fruit of the ministry or, you know, the front line. It would make it a little easier, but I don't think...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it would be game-changing.
Yep, I got it. Okay. Okay, I take a rest now. Sam, John?
Okay, one last question. Well, not last. In your job, do you prefer creating tools or discovering them? Excuse me.
Well, I prefer both over maintaining, which is what happens a lot of times in computer work, where you have something gets built and then you have to just keep it running for forever. I prefer creating, but a lot of times creating involves discovering a lot of different things out there and then putting them together. And so that's what my creating often looks like.
Okay, that's helpful.
John,
and
by the way, of course, I read the comments about Carl, how much you enjoyed your conversation with John and how helpful it was. So John started into the feedback session about 2 weeks ago with you. Evidently, he jumped the gun on us, but go ahead, John.
I'm a cheater.
You are.
Well, of course, I couldn't resist, because he's in the same ministry that I was in, so we have a lot of linkage there. Mm-hmm. Carl, I really love going through all your feedback stuff, and here's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Let's say you're invited into a project where they need you to do something. So So from start to finish, as you're going through that project, at what point do you feel like you're really hitting your sweet spot? It's the place where you say, this is what I was created for, this very moment.
Well, let's see. I guess you start out with some meetings about what people need, and then what are maybe the possible ways to achieve that. And my mind keeps going back to when I go back to my desk and I start really trying to figure out what's possible and trying to throw some things together and see what I can make work. That's what comes to mind.
Okay.
It really fits that
picture that you got or came to the surface, and you were talking to John about the Apollo 13 scene where they brought in all the stuff, say, this is what they have in the capsule, now figure it out. And you said that was your favorite scene as you were talking? Yep.
Yeah, we've got this much money, and this is what we want to make happen. And then I try to figure out, well, these guys over here have already figured out this part, and these guys over here have figured out this part, but we don't want to do it the way they do it. So let's plug these three things together and see if it does what we need.
Now, as a follow-up to that, do you ever see this same desire outside of a technological situation? Like, do you ever see this played out in dealing with someone with a personal problem, or maybe an organizational structure or a relational problem, something like that? Anything other than a technological problem?
I've thought about that a little bit, and especially because for some reason in the past couple of years, well, maybe the past year, I've been, I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm driving or walking, and I've been drawn to podcasts about starting your own online businesses, whether it's to distribute information materials or whether it's even just to buy stuff in one place and sell it on Amazon. And I've been looking at that as different ways to support different ministries. And I've been trying to figure out, how in the world does that relate to what I do with Crew, and how I'm drawn to technology? I haven't really figured it out. I think I like connecting people to things that they need. So even if it's, I can't think of an example right now, but even if it's outside of technology, I feel like there's been times where I've really found joy when I hear that somebody needs something and I can realize, oh, well, did you know that there's this opportunity over here? That could make that work for you. I mean, even just, I remember when a bunch of people first moved here and they were not able to find stuff at the Westfield Library. And I said, well, there's this thing that Indiana has where you can pay a fee and you can borrow from any library in Indiana. And they've got this awesome resource down in Indianapolis. And I think maybe that's related, where I like connecting people to what they need, but I haven't figured out a lot of examples of it.
Okay. I'll do one more question.
Question, John, before you do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Going back to, you were asking what's the sweet spot in his project, and his response is when he's going back to his desk, he starts figuring out what's possible, putting stuff together, making stuff work. Now, if you're talking to somebody and they're trying to describe their problem, how much do you like helping them figure out what that problem is? Or would you just be happy if somebody actually wrote something up and they were just very explicit and clear about what their problem was? Do you like helping them figure it out to articulate it? Or are you just as happy if they've completely figured out what the problem is and they're just looking for a solution?
I think I like to help them figure it out too, but I haven't had a lot of opportunities in the roles that I've been in. So I haven't tried that out.
Okay. Sorry, John.
Well, that actually answers another question of mine, so that was good. One more question. You caught me off guard. You put in your timeline that you enjoyed acting. You said, I'm introverted, but I have fun in front of an audience. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, I've learned in general that a lot of performers are introverts. It really takes energy out of me when I'm with people. And especially, I think that when you play a role, it's a lot different than when you're just ad hoc sitting down with a group of people, especially strangers, and trying to interact with them. And interacting with people really takes energy out of me, and I have to go retreat, and I have to spend time by myself and read. You know, my wife comes back from a party, and she's just raring to talk for another couple hours, and I come back from a party, and I just want to open a book and be quiet. And I'm ready to leave a party an hour before
the moment you walk in the door.
But, yeah, exactly. Actually, sometimes, yeah. I went for her, and okay, we went. Now, let's go home. Acting was, it was a challenge that I enjoyed, and I really liked the pleasure of, you know, the applause and doing a good job. I was in probably 5 different plays in high school, although what happened for most of them was it was a tiny little high school, and people would go out for these plays, and then there wouldn't be enough people that went out. So my friends would come and drag me, and I didn't have to audition because they just needed somebody to fill this role. And they would drag me into it, and then I would love it. And I think I only went out for one part. But and they're usually not, they're not lead parts, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. Gary, you want to take off?
Yeah. So, Carl, when you were younger, let's just say you were in your early teens. It could be anywhere in there. Was there anything you did that you really loved? You can remember back and go, oh, I love that I got to do this or I did this. Anything?
Well, my mind goes right to, I mean, you're not thinking of like jobs, right? You're just thinking anything?
Absolutely anything. So it could be a job, but anything, right, anything.
Yeah, I mean, my mind first goes to the trips I took with the Boy Scouts. I mean, we had a backpacking trip to New Mexico. There's a film out Scout Ranch in New Mexico. It was my first time. All of our camping up till that time had been like you get the stuff out of the truck and you walk 50 yards and you set up camp. This was everything on your back for a week that you need to live, and it was fabulous, and then that started me on backpacking, which my lower back can't handle anymore. But backpacking, we did a canoe trip. I mean, I think of my adventures with the Boy Scouts first. And then the second thing that comes to mind is that my dad had a restaurant, and I got to work with him a lot. And there wasn't anything super that I loved at the restaurant, except every once in a while we'd get to fix something or build something, like build some shelves or fix, I can't even think of what we fixed. But I also just loved going in with my dad to work at the restaurant, no matter what he was doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else.
So, with the backpacking trip with the Boy Scouts, what was the greatest thing about those trips?
Um, I don't know if I've ever dug down to the root of it. I mean, I just love to be out in nature, and with the backpacking, you were farther out. Like, we weren't just at the parking lot. We weren't just, you know, a half hour walk from the parking lot. I think I just felt like you got to experience nature so deeply. I'd like to say it was the guys. Actually, after I joined Crew, a bunch of us guys got in a Bible study and we went backpacking together. And then it was a combination of just experiencing God's creation plus doing it with these guys where we would have great conversations. I can't say I probably had fun with the guys in Boy Scouts, but I just feel like you got to really see God in nature. I don't know.
Yeah.
It felt like an adventure, but I think it was just an adventure because you had to depend on each other and you had to depend on yourself. And, that was a lot of it, I guess. You learned what you were capable of when you cooked all your meals and set up your tent and hung your food up in a bear bag and.
Okay.
Found your way.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's really good. So, what is something that consistently over the years, and let's just say the last several years, so you don't have to pull your memory back necessarily back 10, 20 years ago, and you can if you want, if it comes to you, but what is something that really upsets you? Really makes you mad, you know, where your wife might go, man, your response is out of proportion to what that just was. Anything that just makes you really, that you found always makes you mad, brings up anger or some sort of sadness or something?
I'm a pretty easygoing, level guy, and the first thing that came to my mind was, well, Crew has a mix of people that raise their own support and people that they actually pay a standard salary or hourly rate. And one of my friends who was a paid guy, salaried guy, got fired a couple years ago by Crew. And, of course, I don't know every side of the story, but I do know how they treated him on the day that they fired him. I mean, and boy, there's been a couple times throughout the years where, not knowing the whole picture, I just felt like Crew didn't treat people right. And that just really burned me. Trying to think of some other example. Can't think of anything else.
Okay. So my last question is this, and I think Sam asked this question of you again earlier, but I want to ask it again. So right now, if let's say you went to your boss, supervisor, director, whatever the structure is, and you said, you know what? I love this organization. I love you guys. I just can't raise support anymore. After 25 years, I can't do it. It's taking me out. And they said, you know what, Carl? You've put in a lot of time here. You are super valuable. We're just going to salary you now. We're going to bring you over to that salary position. Would we even be having this conversation right now?
I think a year ago, we wouldn't, but for some reason, I feel what I can only describe as just a nudge from God that maybe He wants me to move on. And it's coming at an interesting time when I discovered your book, and then your book led me to Dallas Willard's In Search of Guidance, because I feel like I got in a rut of thinking of God's guidance as you pray that God will empower your wisdom and that he doesn't let you screw up too bad, and then you just do the best you can. And don't expect a personal word from God. Don't expect the still small voice. That's not a normal thing. And therefore, I'd forgotten what it means to, which I think I understood back in college and in my early days at Crew. I think I understood what it meant to listen for God's voice, and I just sort of got dull to that. And as I've been praying about this stuff for the past year or so, I just feel like, yeah, even if Crew gave me a salary, I'm not sure, I wouldn't feel settled staying, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it is. So, Sam and John, can I jump for a minute over to his pictures?
Sure.
You guys okay
sure.
with that? Just to explore that for a little bit before we...
But I'm not done.
Carl, you have more questions. Yeah, I should have known. Okay, good. Well, okay, let me ask real quickly. Carl, do you have your pictures, your picture exercise, your PowerPoint, or whatever you had? Do you have it in front of you so you can see it or not?
I can in just like 10 seconds, yeah.
Okay, why don't you do that, and Sam, you want to ask another question?
No, because he's looking up his stuff.
I was just going to sacrifice your question for my picture exercise.
He wants my Sam wants actual attention.
I sort of want a little thought of the answer.
Sam always wants attention, Carl. You get used to it.
Oh,
well,
you were going to go there.
You kind of get used to it. I shouldn't.
Okay, I've got it open.
All right. So, just a few observations, and then a question to you. And of course, you guys jump in too with this. You know, it's amazing, Carl, how many times you use the word exploration.
Mm-hmm.
You probably use it in almost close to half your pictures. I didn't do a count, but I'm sure almost close to half.
We all noticed it, every one of us.
Yeah, I know you did. It wasn't just me. I know. technology use quite a bit. Treasure use a lot. Creativity. You know, you have very few pictures of people. And when you do, they're alone, but they're doing something.
That's right.
It's
Jimmy DiResta with his big piece of metal.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and this is not an easy question at the spur of the moment like this, and you've got, it looks like, well, I don't know how many pictures you have, I didn't count them. Can you scroll down through your pictures and give us your most moving pictures, the ones that you, if we said you've got to get rid of all these but five pictures, what those five would be. As you scroll down, just go, I think this would be one of them. Don't worry about the count right now. Just scroll down, take us through, and say, this is something I have to keep. This is important to me.
Yeah. I'm probably going to have to go back and forth some. The tent at night, looking up at the starry sky, is one. The couple, just a couple down from that, or actually I don't know if I opened the document that I actually sent in to you guys. So there's one that I labeled European exploration. It's got a European town lit up at night with the mountains.
Yep.
And I love the combination of I love to explore cities and nature, and I love ragged mountains and snow. Um, Now, my wife doesn't, she loves nature, but she doesn't have the capacity to hike and sleep on the ground like I do. She's got joint problems and stuff. But there's one I labeled Time with Liesl. It's a stream flowing. You can sort of see a bridge there in the background.
Yep.
But we love to go out and walk. And the problem is now we live in Indianapolis, and before that we lived in Orlando, and neither of us likes to walk in Orlando. But when we go out to Colorado every other year, which is one of the things we'd really miss if we left Peru, we just love to go into the Rocky Mountains and walk together. And especially, you know, by there's something special about water.
And you know you're allowed to come into the state without having to go to something like
yeah.
staff training.
You know what?
Yeah,
we would keep on visiting Colorado.
Okay.
Or Montana. Or actually, we're going to Austria for a week in October.
Okay. Was that picture you just talked about, was that called Relaxing Exploration? No.
No, I called it Time with Liesl. Time
okay.
with Liesl, sort of green and the stream.
Okay.
And then, you know what, I think I skipped all the way back up and picked that first one. I think it's the first one, the guy in his shop.
Yep.
Yeah.
My garage is such a mess, and no matter what I do, I can clean it, and it'll be a mess in a couple days because I'm always working on different projects and just loving trying to make stuff work and put stuff together. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam, I'll stop
Gary,
there.
You're not going to ask your tough question?
You ask it. Go ahead. You be the tough guy.
No. I'm not going to do it. You got to do it. I'm saving my questions for my questions.
Do you mean to narrow it down
to
just
one?
To narrow
one
down
picture?
To one. Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway.
I was going to be nice to you, but go ahead.
Nope.
Can you add the?
So okay. Tell me the criteria again. Just that it draws me in and it inspires me.
Well, if I was going to say, if you had all these, let's say you had all these pictures printed right now, beautiful prints of every picture, you loved them all, but I said, Carl, we're going to rip up every picture but one. You are only allowed to keep one picture. And I'm not even going to tell you why. I'm not going to give you any more criteria than that. You're only allowed to keep one picture.
Well,
I
would pick the tent one. I mean, there's something special about nighttime, too. I would pick the tent one because it's got light and color and the stars and the water and the camping and the exploring. Yeah.
Hmm.
Why did you put the word transcendence on that picture?
Because of the stars that are way out and God. He's near, but he's... When you look out at the stars, I just see how great God is, how big he is.
Okay.
Oh, look at that. I spelled splendor wrong. The one next to it. God's spender. Yeah, I think of splendor and transcendence when I look up at the stars.
Okay. Sam?
Okay, so I love your... passion words, and I want to ask you what. So your passion words are connect, create, solve, improvise, and learn. And I want to know what's the difference in your mind between solve and improvise.
That's a good question. I mean, I guess I could have just. Well, okay. There, improvise to me involves. Solving something with creativity and with you have restraints, you've only gotten certain things available, or maybe it has to be done really fast. And one thing one of the things that bugs me in my current job with crew is the crew has gotten so big. our computer stuff has to be rock solid. You can't mess around. And when I go out to Colorado every other summer and we throw together a network for the series of conferences, and when I'm out there, I can do what I want. We need this problem solved, and I think, well, I can just throw this together. It's not going to be the most secure, and it's not going to work for a year, but it'll work for a month. And so, I mean, I guess I like improvising even more than I like solving, but I like solving even when it's not got that.
My next question was going to be, if you had to spend the rest of your life improvising or solving, what would you prefer? And you said you answered it. You like improvising more.
Yeah, it seems like it's harder to get paid to improvise because improvising whatever you came up with doesn't usually last for. But yeah, oh yeah, improvise, definitely.
I would say one last question, and of course, if Gary gives me more time, I'll ask you more. But if you were to look back at your life, how old are you now, Carl?
At 47.
Okay. So if you were to look back at your life, what would you say has been your main spiritual or emotional battle or assault on your life? So we talked, there's a chapter in the book, and we had a discussion about it, the assault on your calling. And we had the four D's. One is distance from your heart. One is a diminishment of your calling. You say, I have something to offer, but nobody will want it, or I'm too young, or I'm too old, or no one will pay me, or, you know, there's a variety of phrases where we diminish it. And the third is we might disdain it, and the fourth is sometimes we feel disqualified. So as you think of your life, where do you think there's been an assault on your life, emotionally, spiritually, whatever?
Well, I mean, just emotionally and spiritually, lust comes to mind. I mean, I definitely struggle a lot with the desire to look at things I ought not to be looking at. But, I mean, if I had to say which one impacted my calling the most, I don't know. I had trouble coming up with answers to questions about assault. I feel like I've been pretty free of them, and I'm sure that's largely oversight, but, you know, looking at Gary's stories about the rifle and different things, illustrations he gives in the book about lies that he's told himself over the years or assaults, I haven't really come up with one.
Okay. I'm done for now.
Well, so if you got another question, you should ask it now, because since we're at 10 till, we probably should get to feedback here pretty soon. So Sam, you have one more vital one, or John?
I don't. I'm ready to go to the feedback.
Sam, you got one you want to ask? I'm sorry, I didn't hear
you.
No,
I'm fine.
Okay. John, you want to just jump in first on the feedback then?
Okay. Carl, one of the things I liked, what you had put your description, I think it's on connecting the dots, but you labeled yourself a problem solver. And I thought, yeah, that really seems to be an excellent description of you. You love to explore. You love to figure things out. And, of course, you know, when you and I had our conversation, I brought up the fact that you continually use the words figure out, you know, over and over and over again.
And it was clear that was something that made you come alive. After listening to you, though, now I really think what makes you come alive more than figuring out, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just going to suggest this. I think the word explore is more of a, I think that's a deeper picture of who you are. I think you're so enthralled by different forms of what I'll call majesty, whether it's nature or maybe it's technology, it could be people, you know, whatever. But I think you're enthralled by that, and you're driven to not just observe it, but to understand it. To me, that's a picture of a man who, I think what I'm seeing is that's what you bring wherever you go, whether you're at work or in your family or in play. I mean, I could imagine you as a Boy Scout hiking those trails, and you're not just observing your environment. You're looking at things, but you're just so driven to understand it. You want to explore it.
Yeah, that's insightful.
Well, what I see is a strength here, because problems incite you. When I encounter a problem, if my car breaks down, if I have a tax problem that I'm working on for a client, if I have a relational problem at home, I shut down. I don't want to deal with it. I want to run from it. I want life to go smooth and easy. And I think you're just the opposite. I think you thrive on problems. You go looking for them to give you something to solve. And I think there's something I'm seeing, that you long for adventure and maybe even battle, standing up for what's right, standing up to an adversary. I think that's all interrelated. I loved in your passion and theme exercise, you kept talking about Remember the Titans and Sound of Music, where it was good against evil, it was standing up for what's right against evil, overcoming adversity and racism. I think there's some relation there between your desire to explore and wanting to come against an adversary. I'm not really sure what that is. I'm really just kind of talking out loud as I'm thinking about this. I loved your answer to my question about what, let's see, or maybe it was Sam's question. You were trying to figure out what the business idea, how it fits what you're doing at Crew. And you said, I'm not sure I know what that is. As you were answering that question, I thought, right now you're doing what you do. You're trying to figure it out. And I mean, it hit me, the weight of your life was coming through in that answer. That's who you are. You don't necessarily have the answer, but that's who you are. That's the weight you bring, is that you're not going to stop. You're not just going to say, that's an interesting question, and just go on. You know, you're going to stay with it. One of the things I noticed in your picture exercise, I'll say this and one other thing, and then I'll be done. A lot of times when we do this, particularly at retreats, this was the case when I did my own picture exercise, you'll get a lot of pictures. You'll have guys who come in with a lot of pictures of peaceful, serene, quiet pictures. And I think you had two, which kind of struck me, because you're in a sort of a tumultuous situation in your life right now. And most people who are in that kind of a situation are longing, their heart is longing for peace. But you don't strike me as that. I think you're thriving on the fact that you're in this tumultuous situation.
So, again, I think that's a picture of who you are as opposed to – I think that's a picture of the glory of your life where it's not the glory of most people's life. Most people are just longing for that peace of their heart, and you seem to be thriving on this situation. And then one last comment. As Gary was asking about the assault that you've experienced, one of the things I think that you may have experienced as a form of assault, and you may not be aware of it, but, and this is not to say anything about Crew, it's just to say this is what happens in any large organization, but you're in a huge, massive structure, and you can't be in a huge, massive structure like Crew or like any other business like that without being in somewhat shut down. And it's kind of like your description of what you do on the job normally versus what you might do if you went to Fort Collins. So
right.
That may be a form of assault. I'm not saying that the structure is of Satan or anything like that. I'm just saying it's something that is, I think your heart is designed for something that allows a lot more freedom and flexibility than a big, big, large organizational structure.
I do long for the days when the computer office and Crew was a lot smaller, and every time I thought about working in another place, it's been a thought of a much smaller place, yeah.
Okay, Sam or Gary?
Sam?
Okay. Just a few different things, Carl. First is, I worked in the software world, but that's the technology world for 25 years. And I would say that the thing that struck me about you was both your affirmation for technology. You like technology. It's just fun. I mean, as John was saying, you love to figure things out. But the other thing that you always said, you continued to say, you would say it in different words. Like one of your common words was to connect people to solutions or connect people with the tools or connect people with the answer. But you have this love of using the technology to serve people. And I'm telling you, that is actually, in the software industry, that's a pretty rare bird, because you get a lot of people who really like to serve, but they're terrible at technology. Or else you get a lot of people who are really good at technology, and frankly, they don't want to serve anything but their own technology lust. But I don't mean that as negatively as I said that. But I felt like in you,
yeah.
I saw a really good, I think, a really good, healthy kind of wanting to help technology serve people. I mean, if you think of a good weight person, of course the good weight person is going to serve. You know, they see when your water glass is empty, or they see when your wine glass is empty, they see when you're done with your plate and they take it away. You think of a weight person in the service industry. But you don't always think of people in the technology as service industry, but it is a service industry. And I love the way you
right.
talk about it as service all the time. I mean, I think that's very true and core to who you are, and it's really admirable. I really think it's admirable. I love the connecting of those two. In your connecting the dots exercise, on the first page of it, we said on page 35, in chapter 3, what did you hear about God say about who you are, the nature? And you had said, at that point, I didn't have anything to say. I'm still struggling. But then right below that, we say, is there any way that word has become clearer? And you say, I solve problems, either discovering or creating the tools or systems needed to help people get their jobs done and connect people with the tools they need. I think that's your calling manifesto. Your calling mm-hmm. manifesto is the last page of the connecting the dots, and it's pretty close. You say, removing roadblocks that are slowing people down by connecting them with the tools they need, either by discovering existing tools or creating what's needed. So again, you use similar words. But I love the way you started it on page 1 of Connecting the Dots. I solve problems.
Okay.
I just thought that was brilliant. That's what I like in a calling manifesto. It's sort of like, I solve problems. That's what I'm here to do. And I just want to affirm that in you. I think that's part and parcel of who you are. John was saying he thought before it was solving problems, but now he thinks it's exploration. I don't think those two things are mutually, I think those things are the same thing, actually. Now, yes, you like to explore wilderness and all that kind of stuff, but I think solving problems is an exploration. It's a creative exploration. It's an innovative exploration. It's an improvisational exploration. I think that there's a part of who you are is a technology explorer, a technology improviser, that is part and parcel of who you are, that is coupled and tied with service. I think that that's both rare and wonderful and who you are, which makes you rare and wonderful, by the way. I love the way you said it over and over and over again. I also like, so I think you are a problem solver, you know, and an explorer and figuring things out. I want to just affirm something else John said, which was your very thoughtful answers. You know, we would ask you a question and you would say, that's a good question. And you would think about it and you'd think out loud or you'd sort of be solving it and exploring it. If you haven't solved it, at least you're exploring it. And I really like that about you, your thoughtfulness, your explorative thought, explorative, how do you say that? Explorative thoughtfulness. We don't normally talk, sort of do career counseling in these things. We're trying to help somebody find out what their calling is, what their calling manifesto is. We're trying to figure out who their essence is. So this is like a freebie that I'm throwing off to the side, but I just get the sense. I just want to affirm. I think it's time to move on from crew. That's my sense. That's not a spiritual sense. That's not a prophecy. That's my gut feel after just talking with you. I think it's God saying, "Hey, I've had you here. This has been a good time. You've learned a lot. You've contributed a lot, and now I have something else for you. You know, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not Isaiah or Moses. I am Samuel. But
all right.
take it with a grain of salt." But I want to sort of give you freedom to say, yeah, it's time to move on. It's okay. You know, loyalty shouldn't be an issue.
Right.
Now, before we had the call, because your rich uncle exercise I really liked, I didn't realize you hate fundraising so much. I was going to suggest you consider starting a 501c3 like the one that you talked about in your rich uncle exercise, which, just a sec, I've got it right here. It was called LightSys. I think that sounds, actually doing that kind of thing sounds ideal, where you're using your technology skills to come in and help ministries figure something out. You connect them, or you create something, or you improvise something that's going to work for a while, and then you run on to the next thing. I really wish you could have that job. I wish we could have a 501c3 called the Carl Krenich, or Krenich, I forget how to pronounce it already.
Good enough, Krenich, yeah.
Krenich, you know, company, where you serve ministries, because ministries are dying for this kind of help. I mean, Gary is looking for help all the time, and I don't mean that negatively. I mean, ministries.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Pardon me?
You're absolutely right. Keep going.
I mean, ministries who don't have the staff for all these technology solutions, but they need them. But they don't need somebody on long term. You know, they need someone to help get a new website going, or they need somebody to help them set up a little network in their house, or they need somebody to figure out what's the best projector system I should use when I go on retreats. And, you know, I mean, they have all these questions, and they need someone to help them with that, and it might be a day project, and it might be a three-week project. But then they don't need it anymore. And I just wonder, I think it would be a terrific ministry. I wish we could hire somebody who could do your fundraising so you could do that. Because it seems to me like it's a good fit for you, where you're serving people, you're serving the Lord, you're serving ministries, you're doing these little projects where you're helping solve things. Anyway, I don't know what to do about it because you don't like fundraising. I don't suggest you continue to do that for crew. I think God is calling you on to something else. But that's it for right now. That's it for right now. I'll let Gary talk to spur more ideas.
Yeah, you guys, I just am going to reiterate a lot of what you said. So, Carl, I'll just approach it maybe a little differently. Let me start by saying just a couple general things, observations, and then I want to get into specifics, as these guys have been doing. I see how you are fascinated, delighted, compelled to, as you stated earlier, you know, one of your versions of your calling manifesto, which I highlighted, is removing roadblocks that are slowing people down by connecting them with tools they need, either by discovering existing tools or creating new ones. It's both, as I see it, the strongest desire and the most consistent. And I also see it as a, we've been saying, as a huge need. I mean, I live amongst the kind of the small ministries around the country. A few. I don't want to make it like I'm connected to all of them, but I see enough of them that I understand that one of their greatest obstacles is overcoming the problems they're facing. They don't know how to overcome them. They don't have the money to pay someone. They need to learn how to work efficiently and effectively, because they're not going to grow to a staff of, you know, 20, 30, 100, 1,500. They're not. They have to figure these things out. And they will spend their time trying to figure it out when they don't have the capacity to do it, instead of doing what they do have the capacity to do. What you love to do is vastly needed. And I'm not exaggerating this. I think you know that, but we really know it because we've been outside of the crew world. Just in generalizations again, I think that you have outgrown, as Sam and John have said, I think you've outgrown your current assignment, your job. For me, when I left Focus on the Family, I found very little fulfillment there anymore and satisfaction. It wasn't because the organization changed. I just simply, guy kind of showed me, Gary, I'm drying up the streams of fulfillment like you did with Elijah to get you to move on. And because you're
that,
needed
that
there.
That quote just jumped off the page to me. That God can dry up your fulfillment or take away your fulfillment when he's trying to prod you to move on.
Right. Because the reality is you're still needed there. You still have a place.
Yeah.
So how's he going to do this? Well, usually he just dries up the stream of fulfillment. And if we don't obey that voice, we will eventually die because, you know, it's a whole thing where your heart will leave the building while you remain. And then at some point you get fired because everyone knows you shouldn't be here anymore. So you don't want to get there. None of us want to get there. And one more generalization is I am taken by the fact that you have this love for both nature and the man-made, you know, the creativity and the awesomeness, the intricacy of nature, but the same thing of what man has been able to create. You enjoy them both, and most people really only appreciate one, they appreciate one more than the other. And you seem to, from your pictures and your conversation, enjoy both. That just all lends itself to reinforcing what we see as this God-given effect of your life, which you love to do for others. You're compelling. Okay, so now glory. Let me just now speak to this idea of what I believe is the glory of your life, the weightiness, the splendor of your life. Again, I really like your statement. As you said, you want to I think this is the glory of your life, to remove roadblocks that are slowing people down by connecting them with the tools they need, either by discovery or creation, creating them. I'm very taken. I think it's huge. You hold on to this, the whole scene from Apollo 13 that came up to the surface as you were talking to John. And I know, I remember that scene so distinctly. It's one of the best scenes in the movie where they just pile it all on the table and say, here's what they got. Figure out how to keep them alive and get them back here. And I think that's what you do. And what's so unique about you is you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to help you solve this with what you've got, not, well, you know, you come up with $5 million and I can solve this for you. You're willing to do it with what's there. That's huge. Another thing is the picture that you called, let me just find here, you called it Summit in Reach. And it is a spectacular picture. I love the picture. But what strikes me is that this is not a picture of the summit, this is not a picture from the summit. This is a picture with the summit in reach. And I just think this speaks about who you are, that you love to see the summit at reach and figure out how to get there. You don't have to be there. You don't have to work from the summit. You just enjoy that. And I think with Crusade, as was said by both John and Sam, you know, this organization doesn't really have a summit anymore. Now, again, this is my opinion, my observation. It's kind of on the summit. It's huge in its impact and how it's operating. And I don't think it's got a summit for you to reach anymore. And I think that's part of your growing dissatisfaction with the current position. Also, these are all saying the same things. You know, again, one of your most used words is exploring in your pictures, and then treasures are in there. And I think that you are made to look for, to explore for treasures, and then get those treasures out to others who need them. And you've been doing that in technology. I think what John was asking you, I think you can do it in more ways than technology, but that's the world you're really good at. You're very comfortable in your experience there. I have a feeling you can do that in other realms, is explore and look for the hidden treasures in people, situations, settings, though this is primary for you. When you talked about your trips with the scouts, what grabbed me was when you said, one of the things I love is you have to have everything on your back, you have to carry everything on your back for the week. There seemed to be something about this fascination of, we've got to know everything that's needed for this adventure we're about to take, for this destination we have to get to and back from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of you. I think that's part of what you loved back then that transitions to today. And then you talked about, you know, having to depend on each other and yourself as well. And I think that speaks to what you love doing for others. Now, let me now jump off of this idea of what I think the glory of your life is, and let me throw out a few things I think that maybe God is up to with you right now in this particular season. I feel like He is trying to detach the desires of your heart from the reactions of other people. I think you've lived in this corporate setting, very much a ministry, but a corporate setting by structure, where everything you do, its value is determined by the reactions of others, whether it's a job evaluation, it's a promotion, or we want you to move forward with this, or whatever that is. And I think that God is probably saying, Carl, I need you to completely own your desires, regardless of the understanding, the appreciation, the validation of others, that you know who you are outside of anyone else. So I think He may be doing that with you. Also, I agree. I think you need to explore other ministry opportunities. And I think they are out there. I mean, I've talked to some people, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I don't know if there's anything out there for what this guy wants to do and loves to do. I think what you love and want to do, I think there are hundreds of ministries that are looking to find somebody like you and to hire them. I really do. If not, in a contracted basis where you do this for several or many, I really think that the need is there. That would take you outside of fundraising. And I completely get that. When I left Crusade, and I loved what I did, but I just thought, I cannot raise support anymore. I absolutely cannot do this. People are seeing through this now, how miserable I am, how much I hate doing this. And I thought, I'm done, and I can't fake it anymore. So I think He's moving you on. And the last thing is to say this. I would recommend that you ask a few very close friends who their only vested interest in you is their friendship, not with their working relationship with you. So be your wife and whatever other close friends you have, even if they're work with crew, but you're far more a friend than you are a workmate. And ask them,
yeah.
And maybe you've done this already, what do you think makes me come alive? Who do you think I really am? When I'm most alive, what am I doing? What am I talking about? What am I asking about? What am I investigating? And ask them to tell you. I don't think you'll necessarily be surprised, but it'll be at least validating, if not a revelation to some degree.
Right.
So, guys, any other paths for you guys?
I had a couple things. First, I wanted to say, you know, John, Gary, and I do not sit down and plan together what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, very often it's very consistent. So we didn't know what anybody was going to say. We all did say, I think it might be time to leave crew. I just want you to know, we're not saying we're opposed to crew. We're not saying it's
right.
Wrong that crew is big.
I understand that, yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that that's clear. We're just saying we think for you it's time to move on. That we think. You know, it's up to you to decide. But we feel like you've got...
Yeah, I get that too.
Okay, good.
I can't go home and tell my wife that these three guys told me I should leave.
Hey, we've got this recorder. We can prove we didn't say that.
I also loved your... Gary reminded me of something, and that's where you're talking about why you loved the backpacking, where everything was on your back. Now, the part of it that struck me closely tied with your comment when I asked you what's the difference between solving and improvising. Improvising, you sort of said, had more limits. You know, it's improvising is the Apollo 13 situation where we say, okay, guys, here's the stuff we have, and here's what it's got to do. We got to make it work. You know, we have duct tape, and we have different things. We got to make it work. It's improvising. I think part of what you liked about having everything on your back was it set a limit. And when you were out there camping away for a week, you had to improvise at times. You didn't bring the tool that you needed, so you had to use another tool. And there was something that was just fun and exciting about that. And I don't know what that says about you, except that I think that a core part of you loves that improvisation. To come up with a solution, even though this isn't the perfect set of tools, but dang it, we're going to make it work, and it's going to work, and it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun doing it. I think there's something really great about you in that way. So that's what struck me when you talked about having everything on your back, because everything means you didn't have everything on your back, but in the end you made everything work.
Yeah, that's true.
John, anything else?
Yeah, and this is real quick. Carl, I had to leave crew myself, and then about 10, 15 years ago, I had to leave the church that I was involved in. And one of the things I noticed in both of those was anytime you're in a situation like that, you're in a culture that is very centered on itself. So when Sam said, I think it's time to leave, I wanted to say, I think you're free to leave.
That was the word I was looking for, yes.
And actually, I think that's the word somebody gave to Gary when it was his time to go. And it doesn't mean you have to leave. It just means you're free to leave.
That's insightful, too, because, and not only I'm tied to it in ways that I shouldn't be, but it's where all most of my friends and, it's all social interactions I have every day. So it's a big thing, and freedom is a good word, yeah.
The other thing is I am so excited about what the future holds for you with respect to your calling, because discovering your calling is you're delving into the deep waters of your heart. And I don't know if I've ever met too many people who have more of an explorer in them than you do.
I just think you will take this much more serious than most people do, which means I think you're going to discover much more about the treasure that's inside you over the years to come, and I think you'll stay with it. So I'm just excited for what you're going to get to experience over the next, you know, many, many years as you continue the journey of discovering your calling.
Thanks, yeah. I am going to stick with it.
So, Carl, just before we turn the recorder off and we conclude our conversation, so just summarize, that's going to be hard to do. What did you hear us say? Just not looking at notes or anything, but what did you hear us say in general?
Oh, well, so much. I mean, I'm an explorer, and that fits into being a problem solver. That part of my desire to improvise and to get things done the way that brings me life doesn't fit into a super large historic organization as well. That I'm unique in that I like to use technology, but I like it for the purpose of, well, not just for the purpose of serving people, but I like equally well to serve people, and like how I can use technology to do that, which other people have pointed that out too. But that's a unique thing about me. I just hadn't really put that together with this workshop. So yeah, those are the things that jump out at me.
Okay. Well, and let me just tag on to John's statement about we're saying that we think that God is giving you the freedom to move on to something else. I would say with that, I would add to that, that what you have been doing for Crew all these years, God may be saying others need your help now as well. Not that you need to find a better organization, it was simply that others need what you bring. Your world is now getting bigger. It was limited to Crew, which is a huge organization. But there's others that now need it, so it could be that as well. But so, Carl, this is a good word. This is not a farewell, right? You're with us.
No,
we're
not
in base camp together. We're friends. So this is just the concluding feedback, you know, session we wanted to have with you. But we just want to keep hearing how you're doing, keep having conversations. And if ever you want a little bit of an adventure and exploration, the Noble Heart is here for you to figure out its problems and how to solve them. Because for some reason, Sam and John aren't helping.
We create more problems, don't we?
No comment. So, anyway, it's been great.
Okay.
Really good. So.
Likewise, it has been wonderful.
Good.
Wow.
Well, I will conclude the recording right now.